Okay, what's your question?
Maharaj, my question is that how does it go together, like chanting my rounds and if I in service to devotees, like these two things go together, like parallel to each other, like in case I'm doing an aparadh to a devotee, how much does it affect on my chanting?
So what, that's the question? The question is, if I offend a devotee, if I offend a devotee, how does that affect my chanting?
Yes, Maharaj. Does it?
That means that you're not, there's no chanting. Because the name is, like we're making the sound, but there's no Krishna there. Okay. In other words, Krishna, if the sound, love me, love my dog. Okay. So if you offend Krishna's devotee, then Krishna, he goes away from us. He doesn't like, oh, you're Duryodhan, you offended the Pandavas. Why I should come to your house for lunch? I'll go eat lunch with whoever it was. What was it? Vidura. I'll go to Vidura's house. I don't want to be with you. So the holy name is Krishna as a person. So he won't be pleased with such, you know, that displeases him the most. That's the most displeasing thing. Aparada means pleasure. And aparada means against the pleasure. So the thing that, the activity that displeases Krishna the most is when you offend his beloveds, when you offend his servitors. So then, when you offend a devotee, then Krishna leaves. So what you do, you have the body but no soul. So you have the sound of the name but no person. Krishna's not there. That's why I said Krishna's not there. So you have to rectify your relationship with that devotee. You know, you can't. If you offend devotees, then Krishna will never come to you. It will never manifest in the holy name. All you'll have, all your chanting will just be syllables. It's called Akshar Nam. There's Akshar Dham, right? The Mayavadi Swami Narayan people, they're Akshar Dham.
Yes.
Which means the oneness. Or what does it mean? What does Akshar mean exactly?
Akshar.
Akshar means what?
That which cannot be.
Explainers. Inexplicable or something. In other words, Brahman, the nothingness, the void. So Akshar Nam means that it's just a syllable. Whatever the word for syllables, Akshar means syllables also. Mm. It just means the syllables. Mm. But the syllables have to be backed. Mm. If you want Krishna to appear in your chanting, then your chanting must be pure. And the degree to which our chanting is pure, that's how much Krishna manifests his beauty, his potencies, his blessings, his mercy. So if there's 10% purity in our chanting, then Krishna manifests 10%. But he's very much unhappy. Srinam Prabhu is very much unhappy or displeased when we mistreat the devotees or speak badly about the devotees. That's the problem. Is that clear?
Yes, Maharaj.
You do that? You offend the devotees?
Yes, Maharaj.
How do you do that?
In a sense, I mean, just get angry or just think, I mean, would not say, but just within myself.
Is it the mother-in-law thing?
No, not mother-in-law, of course. Like, basically anybody. So, that's
why. Well, you have to pray to Krishna. Prayer is very powerful. If you recognize some bad qualities about yourself or bad mentality, and you understand that this is not favorable for bhakti, for devotion, it's pratikulya, not anukulya, then you pray. You can pray to Krishna in the heart and pray to Guru. Oh, Gurudev. Guru is very powerful. And you pray to Gurudev and Krishna in the heart, please, this is a bad thing in me. Please take this out of me. I know it's not good to have this. And I can't give it up on my own. It keeps coming back. No matter how many times I try to get free from this, it keeps coming back. Because we have our nature. We've inherited a particular nature due to our purva sanskaras, prior behavior. So that nature is very difficult to change on our own. So we need help. We need help from above. So the help is above us is Guru and Krishna. So we pray to them If our surrender is sincere, then the Lord hears our prayers. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the Lord hears the prayers of a Sharanagata Vaishnava. One who possesses the quality of surrender, then Krishna actually hears his prayers and respond. But if you're only praying, if you're only offering prayers and there's no mood of surrender, there's no surrender, then the Lord is kind of a deaf ear. He doesn't so much respond. We have to be in a mood of surrender also. Damodar?
Maharaj, just want to be a little bit more clear about this, you know, duty. As in I'm...
Duty?
As in I make my presentations. And at the same time, I have to be enthusiastic while performing this duty. But then there is a tendency... So
you mean the duty of collecting money? Which duty? You're talking about your dharmic...
I'm talking about...
Duty means karma?
Material, what? Yeah, karma.
Yeah, okay.
And being enthusiastic to do that is a requirement. But
yes.
At the same time, the mind tends to go towards the fruitive mentality. As in... you know, then the mind is just spinning around that whole sphere because it's such an enthusiastic presentation, and you know, it tends to get absorbed into that sphere for a long time.
Yeah, well, so what's the question?
I mean, then what exactly is to be done? I mean, how is duty to be performed?
Well, it's kind of like electricity. It's like electricity. You turn on the switch and the light comes on, and you turn off the switch and the light goes off. So when you want light, you turn on the switch. When you want darkness, you turn off the switch.
Yes.
So there's a Bengali proverb that says if Lakshmi lives with someone who's enthusiastic. So if you're enthusiastic about something, then you become fortunate, you become successful. Lakshmi means fortune, success, money, etc. So if you're enthusiastic about bhakti, about devotion, then you become successful. And if you're enthusiastic about working or making money, then you generally become successful. You're blessed by Lakshmi Devi. So when it's time to do that fundraising, then you do the needful, as Prabhupada would say. Do the needful. Some activities require some work activities require a very patient, quiet observation, and it's a very sattvic type of slow-moving action to make money in some fields.
Yeah.
Like maybe some intellectual work or some architect. Like you see some architect sitting in his office drawing some plans for a major building. He's very careful and methodical, and he's very quiet, and he's not running all around, jumping up and down. He's thinking deeply, oh, this goes here and that goes there. But then some other activity, you have to inspire people, you have to enthuse people through these sales. Sales is a very passionate activity.
Yeah.
It's not a very creative thing, really. It's a very passionate activity, moving people and getting people to move and accept this idea and make it their own, and then give them enough passion to accept it and be passionate enough to initiate it themselves. So it's like trying to start a steam. Trying to start a steam engine. You have to get a lot of heat going in there first before the water starts moving the engine. So this, whatever is required, you have to do. But being a devotee, it's not the all-in-all in life. The all-in-all in life is not just enthusing people to make money and making money on their enthusiasm. The all-in-all in life is being enthusiastic about surrendering to Krishna and serving Him and preaching and spreading His mercy through preaching. So you have to know when to turn on the switch and know when to turn it off. If you only have to turn on the switch for 1 hour, then 1 hour it's on, then after that it's... I can remember sometimes seeing one devotee who was a temple president. He called some devotees in the... Or Sankirtan devotees. He called them in the office and and have like a pep talk. He says, "Oh, we have to get out there, distribute books, Prabhupada's mission, this, that," and he would really get them enthused. And I was a godbrother of his. And then I would sit there and watch his performance, basically. And then they would leave. And they would all go out and jump in the vans and go on the marathon. Then he would collapse in a chair and say, "Whew, well, that was that. That was that." You know, that was just like almost like a show.
Sure, right.
But or a performance. But in this case, of course, is connected with Krishna to inspire the book distributors. But it wasn't really maybe what he wants to do all every moment. You know, he wants to study and chant and remember Krishna. So in this work field, it's the whole thing is pretty artificial. Working in general, it's just artificial program. But it has to be done. It's our duty. It's our duty as a grihastha to make money. And if we're not there, if we're somewhere else, just like if we're chanting japa, and our mind is somewhere else, then we can't be very successful.
Yeah.
It's called inattentive japa. It's offensive. And it slows down our progress. And it's not very pleasing to Krishna. So we have to be there. We have to be present in our japa. We have to be present in our studying. We have to be attentive and awake. If you're sleepy, and then you can't chant very much japa. In the same way, when you go out to do business, you can't be, "Well, I'm here, but I'd rather be in a temple," or,
right, exactly.
"Or what's my wife doing?" And really, I could be in Kartik right now, and now it's going on puja, and I'm in Delhi in a Hilton giving some presentation to these stupid people just because I have to make money, and this is the way I'm making money. There's never any kind of lamentation. We try to see the presence of Krishna everywhere and look for him somehow or other. We look for him in the people, we look for him in the environment, and we'll start to see that he starts peeking at us. Krishna starts peeking at us. Like some guy has a white, we're speaking to some guy and he has a white jacket. And then but in his jacket, suit jacket pocket, he has a dark blue handkerchief. And we see the dark blue handkerchief and we're speaking, we think, "Oh, my Krishna is so beautiful. He's so blue." Ganashyama Radhe Radhe, Ganashyama Radhe Radhe, Nikunja Me Viraje, Ganashyama Radhe Radhe. And somehow we look for the opportunities to remember Krishna. So even in the context of the most disconnected activity, we can find our Lord. If we're looking for him. So, okay, we'd be enthusiastic, we give our talks, or everyone's at some conference and they have a little name tag on their shirt to identify who they are. Sometimes they have these conferences like this. So then we see his name is Gaur Gupta or something. So, oh yeah, Gaur Gupta, Gauranga. Oh, Gauranga, please let me pass these years very fast. So please let these years go by fast so I can become your eternal servant. And when will I have an opportunity to see Gaur Dham again? Now I'm seeing all Hilton Dham and Oberoi Dham and all these stupid hotels I have to stay in and give all these ridiculous talks. But someday maybe I'll return to Gaur Dham and have bath in Ganga and worship your lotus feet of the Panchatattva. So this way, you know, we do it. Our heart is elsewhere. But our mind, our heart is elsewhere. Bhakti is the land of the heart. And all this mind, our mind has to be there, our senses have to be there, but our heart should not be there. We don't put our heart into making money. But we do it with application of mind. But our heart is in devotion. Our heart is in seva. That's the real essence of our life. That's the meaning of our life. But that's the difference between a karmi and devotee. A karmi, his heart, mind, soul, body, nose, tail, everything is fully into money, 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 money. Even they have phrases like, "Money is my God." You ever heard that? They say, "Money is my God. All I care about is money. Money, money, money. I don't care about anything else." Well, we care, you know, okay, we need money, we use money, we want things in life, okay, whatever. But our heart should not be into it. When we make the money, and we do it enthusiastically, but heart should be reserved for our Ishtadev. Our heart should be reserved. Of course, we have our family members. They occupy part of our hearts. That's natural. But the core of our heart should be reserved for Ishtadev, for Rasabihari and Giridhari. And so we go through so many motions. It's another drama. It's just another leela. But this leela is not eternal. This money-making leela is not eternal, thank God. And it's just something we have to go through. And it's over before you know it. It seems like it never ends. The bills, the responsibilities, the hassles, the anxieties, you know, the taxes, this guy, that guy, and all the engagements and headaches. But it actually ends before you know it. And then you can return to a life of normalcy. Life of normalcy. This money-making business is actually temporary insanity. It's really temporary insanity. Sane life is spiritual life. Natural life is spiritual life. Pure life is spiritual life. And all these other things, all this money-making business is unnatural, it's impure, and it's insane. But it has to go on. That's the material world. It's an artificial imposition. Right? So, don't get too serious about it. Be serious at the moment. You have to learn how to turn on and turn off.
Yes, Father.
Just like the men, you know, they have these 9-to-5 jobs. Of course, yours is a different nature, but you have to try to make it like that.
Right.
They go in at 9 and they start pushing papers around, then they leave at 5. And it's everything else is somebody else's headache. I do my little bit, and I'm a secretary. Okay, type these letters today. Do these files, do this accounting, whatever it is. Okay, 5 o'clock, goodbye. I don't think for 1 second. When I leave at 5, even before that. But at 5 o'clock, I'm on my motorcycle. I'm just thinking, oh, my wife, my kids, dinner, TV, movie, this, that. And your wife says, are you thinking about the job? Like 10 o'clock at night. Are you thinking about your job? What, are you crazy? Are you thinking about your boss? No. I don't bring up that subject. I'm thinking about you and the family and the kids. And in our case, it should be, I'm thinking about Guru and Krishna. And then next day, oh my God, it's 8:30, I have to go to work. Oh my God. Okay, here we go. So whatever, even if you own your own business, as a devotee owning his own business or running his own business, it should be more like the 9-to-5 style. It's not a 24-hour engagement.
Yes, it's not. Yes.
No money making should be a 24-hour engagement. It should be as little time as possible. But when you're into it, you're into it.
Yeah.
You're sitting in a sari shop, Tulsi sari shop, and somebody comes in, it's like you're full on. Each person is a performance piece. It's not like, oh, this fat lady, this guy's gonna order some saris. I wish he wouldn't come in here. I want to read the Bhagavatam. No, it's you try to sneak in a little bit of Bhagavatam here and there, or a tape or a class in between people. But when they come, is it off? Oh, welcome, sir. Hello, 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 hello. This is, you know, they hit that thing. You know, roll them. Scene 2. You know, here we go. It's learn the art of turning on electricity and turning off electricity. But the undercurrent, the electricity that's really always flowing in the heart, is the Krishna bhakti.
Yeah.
And we're always trying to trace out Krishna and search for him. The lady comes in, she's wearing a dress or whatever, and she has a peacock pattern on it. We think of peacocks, and Krishna wears a peacock feather on his turban, and so many things are there. It's called reminders, udipans. If you're always thinking of your lover, then you'll see your lover everywhere. But if you're not thinking of your lover, you won't see your lover anywhere. You understand?
Yes.
So Krishna is our lover. Krishna is our object of love. Prem Vishai. Work we must, but forget Krishna we must never do. Sadatam smaratam Vishnam, Vishnur. Always remember Vishnu. You have other questions, Damodar?
No,
you want me to speak more on this or what?
Yes, Father, I'm very lucky here.
No, this is the art of living. The art of living That's a nice thing that guy calls the art of living, but he forgot the rest of it. The art of living in Krishna consciousness. Living, the tree is also living very artfully. Mm. And the dogs are also living very artfully. Mm. And this Bhavi, whatever his name is, he's trying to teach people the art of living, but their living is already going on. Artfully or fartfully? The fart of living. So the thing is, really, human life is meant for living in consciousness. Conscious living, high living. Mm. And the most conscious form of life is God-conscious life. Mm. So we're teaching people the art of living in God-consciousness. Yeah. And God is Krishna. So we're teaching people the art of living in Krishna consciousness. That's, the guy is missing that part. Art of living, okay, fine. Just add Krishna consciousness to it. So we ourselves, as grihasthas especially, it's not so hard for a brahmachari or sannyasi to live Krishna consciously. It's not so hard for him to follow the way of the art of living in Krishna consciousness. Because that's all he knows. There's no distractions. Except his own anarthas, which can be quite a lot. Yeah. His anarthas and aparads. But externally, there's nothing really going on to take him away from Krishna. Everywhere he looks is temple, everywhere he looks is preaching, everywhere he looks is shastra, everywhere he looks is devotees. So he's surrounded by Krishna conscious, pure Krishna conscious objects and persons and engagements. The grihastha, yes, to deal with his external energy so much and mundanity and money and all this maya. So it's harder for him to trace out the essence of Krishna and everything. So it's harder for the grihastha to learn the art of living in Krishna consciousness. But this art must be learned. In other words, otherwise life is a failure. You may not know the art of painting, or the art of music, or the art of designing, or whatever, but everyone must learn the art of Krishna consciousness. Well, this is the challenge. So by surrender, by prayer, by sincerity, by determination, by repeatedly trying, you can master the art. Become a master of the art of Krishna consciousness.